Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's 9 a.m. and the Parliament is in session. 1992, precisely 28 years ago, a unit known as Special Anti-Robbery Squad, a.k.a. SARS, was created by a former police commissioner, Simeon Danladi, with a clear mandate to tackle the spate of increased crime rate in the country. Originally formed with only 15 officers, SARS is one of the 14 units in the Force Criminal Investigation and Intelligence Department, which was established to detain, investigate, and prosecute people involved in crimes like armed robbery, kidnapping, and other forms of crimes. In 2009, after several years of operations, the squad grew in both number and strength, and due to the surge in the cases of internet fraudsters and cultism in universities, SARS operatives infiltrated Nigerian universities, made several successful arrests, but in the process started the deployment of unbridled and unregulated powers, detaining innocent youths and extorting large sums of money. And according to a publication, what SARS became was a national scourge and a witch hunt machinery against Nigerian youth with dreadlocks, piercings, cars, expensive phones. So today, a day after the announcement by the IGP of SARS disbandment, we take a critical look at the politics of NSARS. Uche Gabriel is my name, and with me is...
Adobe Ilozwe. Good morning. Thank you so much, Uche. All right, on that note, we'd love to say good morning to our first guest this morning, Mr. Oke Ayogo. He's a National Coordinator, Citizens Defense Support Project. Good morning, Oke.
Good morning.
And good morning to our second guest. He's a graduate of marketing from University of Nigeria, Nsukka, a master's degree holder in business administration from the National Open University, and a good governance advocate. Good morning to Anopoeme Chidi Vin Martins.
Good morning.
You're welcome.
All right. Let me start with this question, and I'll direct it to our second guest. Is SARS as bad as they have been made to look?
Well, first of all, good morning, listeners. Talking from the side of the youth, I don't think SARS is that good to the youth, because everybody has something to say about SARS. Everybody have something to say about their mode of operation. Even I myself, I had personal experiences or personal encounters up to 3 to 4 times with them. So, and all of those encounters didn't turn out well. If not that, by the special grace of God, I would say that I was lucky, and because maybe I was smart enough.
What exactly happened, if you don't mind?
Okay. First incident happened last year. I'm a footballer and I'm a player of Strikers International Football Club, Enugu. So last year we did our end of the year. So we at Calabash, opposite Sam's Hotel. One thing led to another, and I lost track of time. I was returning around 9 p.m. I was returning. So around that Kayeta, Unique Kayeta axis, around that side. So once we reached there, around that after 9, these guys just came out. Stop! I was like, God, K-finger calling my mother. Like, this morning or this night, how will I explain to my parents that successful thing happened to me on the way? So instantly, I calmed down. What I noticed about these people is that they are always angry. I don't know. Somebody is pissing them off somewhere. I don't know. The way they will speak to you as if you are nothing or as if you are a slave. You know, calm down here. Calm down. What was inside your bag? I opened my bag and they searched and everything. After a while, the one that provoked me most was one of them asking me to bring out my phone. I was like, I should give you my phone for what? And that was when I heard this statement. You think saying that now they do gra-gra. If you do any rubbish, we'll waste you and nothing will be done about it. Like, we will waste you and nothing will be done about it. At that moment, I calmed down. I now said, Oga, I brought out my ID card. Oga, this is not your job. In a calm voice, please, sir, I'm a player of Strikers International Football Club. I was coming back from our end of the year party. Please, sir, look at me. Funny enough, and should I say, to my greatest luck, I'm an alternate in St. Paul's Catholic Church, Enugu. I have my ID card. I always have it on me. I brought out the ID card. I showed them, see, sir, I'm an alternate. Look at my ID card. This phone that you are asking me to bring out, it is not your job. There's no way you can search my phone. Maybe God touched one of them. One of them now tapped the other. He said, leave this guy. He is not one of them. Had it been that I had dreadlocks, or maybe I was dressed in, you know, that kind of thing, maybe by now I might have been killed.
Okay, but let's move over to Mr. Ayog. Now, and of course, with what happened yesterday, a lot of people think those who were marching finally achieved their aims. But some other people believe that it's like a scratch on the surface. It's like, okay, let's give you what you want, but it doesn't really solve the problem. Do you really think that NSAS has really ended SAS?
Well, I wish SAS is the problem of Nigeria as it is. But my opinion, and very candid as it is, SAS is not the problem. It's not the beginning of Nigeria's problem. And it will not be the end of Nigeria's problem. And I have issue with the campaign itself, not because the narrative is wrong, but because I have question with regards to the intent of the campaign and the timing and the overall purpose and aim it seeks to achieve. And that will be accentuated by the event going forward. Now that IG has disbanded SARS, we will now find out whether the protests will completely cease or whether it is just a subterfuge for greater political goal. Because I am a proponent of looking into things from the deeper perspective, because things don't just happen. Things happen for purpose, and people are engineers of what we understand as the polity or the temperament of the society or the mood of the society. And oftentimes, people join in the bad wagon, not knowing what the architect of the movement wants to achieve. And that is why my take on it is to be very cautious and watch from the viewpoint of history.
Are you saying that the protest was not about ending SARS?
You see, like I said, I wish SARS is the problem of Nigeria.
But it's part of a problem.
It's a reactionary problem. You can't cure cancer by treating the pain.
At what point did they become the problem? From their main roles?
I don't even believe that they are the problem. The problem of Nigeria is the problem of structure, is the problem of politics, is the problem of our culture of impunity. It is a systemic problem. And until we allow ourselves to take a deep cogitation to finding out where did we go off the track and how can this problem be solved? You have heard the clamor of for state police, decentralization of Nigeria police, and some people think no, it is not the issue to be clamoring for. We should clamor for end of SARS. And are you clamoring for the end of SARS? Is SARS the only institution that operates with impunity? SARS has not killed more people than other people. It is in this Nigeria that we saw DSS invaded a state house and made arrest, and nothing happened. It is in this country we saw a DS, a security outfit, maybe DSS or whatever, I don't want to be naming any group, but we saw a security outfit lock up National Assembly. So let us be looking at it deeper than this cry for SARS to be scrapped and all that, because looking at the timing and looking at the politometric dynamics of the country, I am conscious, and I don't want to be carried away, and I'm suspecting that it is not just for the altruistic social justice that it appeared to be. It appeared to me as a claptrap or strategy by some people to hit up the polity for their political interests.
Should we have left the SARS to continue operating the way they were operating?
No, I don't opine that at all. That is not my opinion. But what I'm trying to say is that until we begin to look at our problem as issue of structural deficit in the country, issue of injustice, structural injustice, issue of dangerous political culture that is fostered by unchecked political scheming by our political actors who, to achieve their aim, result in employing or making use of the very people they have deprived of their basic and fundamental right, will not be able to reverse the course of things. And we're on a very sprint race to destruct, to perdition, the way we're going.
Now, when you speak about structure, if you take a very critical look at the formation of SARS, since the founding of SARS in 1992, they were majorly founded to combat armed robbery, and they were set up as an anti-robbery squad to actually dislodge robbers in Lagos State at that time when they terrorized the streets of Lagos, coming after police fled the streets, I think after the death of a certain colonel killed by a police officer. Now, at what point did they desist? At what point did they deviate from the original concept which they were created for in the first place? Speaking about combating armed robbery, because if you take a look at the reasons why this protest is lingering, is on the basis of exploitation, on the basis of police brutality, on the basis of killings. I don't think they were set up in the first place to actually carry out other schemes aside armed robbery and arrest of criminals. So at what point did they deviate from what they were set up in the first place for?
If you're asking for the timing and whether they have deviated, we have to really study the mandate that established them, and I would have maybe also studied the history of the operation. I'm not in the capacity to, I'm not in place, I'm not I'm not in position to analyze how, when and how they fail. But from the history that was given by the founding commander of SARS, you find out that SARS was established because of the situation that went out of hand. Lagos was invaded by armed robbery everywhere, and you have heard about the Alili in Benin before then. You heard about the other guy in Lagos and many areas. And the question is, was it the Nigeria of the dream of our founding fathers? Where did we get it wrong? Where did we get to the point, and how did we get to the point where our youth now decide to take arm and go to robbery and criminality instead of going to school, instead of seeking noble job, instead of taking to noble profession? We must also address the issues that give rise to the necessity of setting up a special anti-robbery squad.
Now, are you saying if we can't do this holistic thing, we cannot do the minute, which is staging a protest to register our grievance?
Okay, let me tell you something. And asking police to reform SARS or to scrap SARS and set up a new Special Operation Unit. I'm not against it. I'm not saying that SARS is innocent of all that they are accused of. I'm not an advocate. I'm not a SARS apologist. But what I'm saying is that SARS has not killed more people than the people that were killed in Southern Kaduna, Benue, Middle Belt, people that have been killed in Northeast, Northwest, Sokoto, Katsina, Zamfara, the rest of them. I'm saying that it is time that we go beyond SARS. SARS are just Nigerians like you and I. We should go beyond SARS and be demanding accountability from the political leaders that gave us this Nigeria of our experience. Because to begin with, how were those guys recruited? Are they qualified to be policemen in a country that got its ass well? All right. What are the caliber of people that made up our police forces? Are they people with good education, good orientation, good social standing? What kind of people do we recruit? And why is it, and how did we get to the point of recruiting this kind of people to become our members of our police force? Who is in charge of the policy? Who gave us these people? Have you ever heard of governors, local government chairmen, senators being shot by SARS? Who has used SARS to oppress the people? So we must go beyond SARS, because SARS is just an attribute of the problem of Nigeria. The problem of Nigeria is that the people that are supposed to be accountable to the people are not accountable to the people. It's like what the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 3, that the children have come to birth and there's no strength to bring forth. So we should not be looking at symptoms. We should be looking at the real ailment.
But this could just be the beginning of the bigger reform.
No, my fear is that the very people we're supposed to be protesting against may be actually using the youth to advance their political ambition.
Let's get into Martin's here. Judging from what he said, said SARS is not actually supposed to be part of the problems that we are fighting. There are other things. We're fighting for good governance. We're fighting for roads. We're fighting for better health care.
Yeah.
Now, what are your thoughts in regards to this hashtag End SARS protest? Some people believe that this protest is actually the first step in bringing the Nigeria of our dreams, or achieving the Nigeria of our dreams. Do you agree?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Judging from the look of things, the youth of our country have been docile for some time now. You know, we have been distracted by a whole lot of things. Understand? We have kept quiet for some time now. There are things that in other countries, it will not happen. But we just relax. Yes, the youth are not canvassing for 247 power or healthcare system or anything, or even employment.
Shouldn't they be doing that?
I'm coming, sir. All we are asking right now is the right to be alive. I am here and I am standing for a greater percentage of Nigerian youths. My old guy is not a youth. I am. He cannot be stopped by SARS officer and he will be harassed anyhow. No, he can't. But I know what I'm saying. I cannot go out with my phone. I cannot go out with my laptop. I cannot feel free traveling. If I dress with a jean or with a can or with a dreadlock, I cannot travel because I will be stopped on the way and molested or even beaten. So, yes, SARS is not the problem, but SARS is part of the problem. Before you get to 10, you first of all count 1. Since our leaders have kept quiet, our daddies have kept quiet, our elders have kept quiet, the youths are saying, first of all, stop this SARS. End it for us. We don't even end SARS for us.
What if SARS, you know, gets a new life in another unit?
That is exactly because I saw what the posted yesterday from first PPRO, and I have issues with the second and third points. The second point that said all officers and men serving in the unit will be redeployed to other police commands.
What will you have expected them to do?
To be dismissed?
No.
What will you have expected them to do?
We want them, first of all. People have died. Over the years, they have killed a whole number of youths. People are dying on daily basis. They are killing people.
Is it really all SARS? Is it really all SARS officials?
No. Ndibosina Ufaka Otamanu, Ozuibeya. Yes, I know that there are still good persons.
So you punish all SARS?
I'm coming. I'm saying, point out these people that have done this. Because since over the years, we have not heard about any SARS official that have done this. We have not heard about anything that have been done to that person. None of them have been brought to book. All we are saying is, first of all, disband these people. Send them to rehab. Just rehabilitate them. Tell them what it means to be a police officer. Then, fish out those persons that have done these atrocities against humanity and punish them. Yes, they should be punished. Because let's say if I had died 12 December 2019, I wouldn't have been here saying this. Maybe I would have been forgotten.
Now, some people believe that the zeal of a youth to stage a protest is commendable. But shouldn't this zeal be spread in tackling other issues?
Yes. That is why I say the youth have been docile for some time now. But I am happy that this is a step towards the right direction. First of all, we are starting with SARS. We want to be alive. Now, who die alive? The good reason for power or healthcare or good leadership. We have to be alive first. I want to be alive.
So in your opinion, the SARS problem is bigger than all the other problems?
Charles, you are not getting me. This is not what I'm saying. I'm saying that I have the right to be alive in my own country. Give us that avenue that ensures that we are safe, that we will not be judged because of how we dress or the things that we carry on ourselves.
Are you aware that SARS is just a unit of the Nigerian police force?
Yeah.
And that their operations may just be a reflection of the entire setup. Are you aware of that?
That is why after this end SARS program or protest, there is another one going on. Police reforms. We are starting somewhere. You must start somewhere. Rome wasn't built in a day. We must start somewhere. Let us end this particular one first. Then we move on to police reforms. Then before then, if our elders can help us, our leaders should help us. People should come and help us. Because the youth, we are tired. Okay, we have been docile for some time. And people are saying that the youth are docile. Now we came out and said, this is what we want. And they are still saying that we are not doing it the right way. What should we do?
All right, Mr. Okay, if you take a great look at most of the reasons why these SARS officials or men of the police force in general actually perpetrate this act of exploitation, extortion and killings, there's this argument that the remuneration of these officers is actually one of the reasons for their actions. Is it really just about the remuneration? Because I got a chance to speak with a few people who are related to most police officers. And so I know a particular lady made a statement. She said if it has to do with going into SARS just for her to feed, she doesn't mind. She said because these people, the monies they get from the youth who they bump into, who they exploit, they use it to drive big cars. And that's not compared to the type of salaries or the amount of salaries that they get monthly. Now, is it just about the remuneration? Or there is more to, there's more to their actions. There's more to their exploitation.
Okay. Thank you, Adobe. You see, I say that the problem of Nigeria is systemic. Is the problem of the system, and it is manifest in our structure, in our policy, in the type of people we recruit in every aspect of the government. Take for example the type of politicians you have. They are not politicians that are accountable to the people they govern and elected them. Take for example the type of teachers you have in classroom. They are not teachers that are interested in teaching people. Not even doctors are interested in treating people. Nurses are not interested in attending to a sick patient. The driver on the road does not care. If he's driving a trainer and you are driving a bus, he doesn't care whether it is your right of way. So there's a system of impunity in Nigeria. And going back to your question about the remuneration of these people, of the SARS operative, why are we recruiting policemen, recruiting people into our police force without making provision for their welfare. Growing up, I used to know about police barracks. There's difference between police barrack and police station. Police barrack is where police men and women are quartered. They will have water. They will have light. Public schools were working. So with their meager salary, they could send their children to school. Public health system was working. So they could have their children go to hospitals and be treated. They could have their wives deliver in maternity and be able to pay for it. Today, not all those things have been taken away. So policemen working in Independence now are forced to live in Ababa because that is where they can afford house rent. And sending their children to primary schools, public primary schools, has become a certification for you being like I am. I didn't go to school.
But who is well paid?
I'm coming.
Are they supposed to take their frustrations out on the people?
I'm not saying that they should. I'm not a policeman, and I don't collect bribe. But I'm trying to say that the person that is influenced, or the person that influences others, or puts others in the condition that make it really possible for them to conduct themselves properly, if they are deficient of moral, is as guilty as the person who being put there yielded to the pressure that he find himself under. So I'm trying to say, the policemen can no longer access good health system. They can no longer access good school, and they have desire to send their children to school. Meanwhile, our senators are collecting how much in a month? Our senators in Nigeria are paid more than the senators of the United States. Our senators in Nigeria are paid more than the parliamentarians in London. Our senators are paid more than every other member of parliament anywhere in the world. How much is our governor's security vote? How many vehicle phones, local government chairman, commissioners, governors, senators, convoy? And these are people who we knew before they went to power or they got to power, how rich they are. And we now know how rich they become after they get to power. And these men are giving guns to pursue armed robbers that are created by bad policy. Crimes in Nigeria are creations of bad governance.
Now, look at the scenarios.
I'm coming. Oh, so now, these people are giving guns. And they are inadequately trained. The training and doctrine of Nigeria police, just like the training and doctrine of every institution in Nigeria, is very poor and be no standard. And you can't get what you haven't given in. What you sow is what you reap.
So is that enough reason for them to act the way that
no,
they
No, but I'm saying we should look beyond just the police.
Now, you know, before the youth took to the streets, nobody has done anything like this.
Yes.
And yes, the picture you're painting is what should happen. It has not happened before now. Now, why are the older ones demonizing the protest by these young ones? That's what I want to know.
No. If you consider what I'm saying as demonizing the protest of the youth, I don't think you got me right.
No. We get your point. The point is that if we have to wait until the whole thing you want to see happen, start.
What I'm saying is that the youth should have started this protest a long time.
Wow.
And it shouldn't be the protest of only the youth. It should be the protest of the oppressed. It's not only the youth that are oppressed. I keep telling people, there's no Hausa, Fulani, Yoruba, Igbos in politics. There's only the elite in politics versus the rest. Once they get to power, they are either Igbos, Hausa, Yoruba, or Fulanese.
Was that why there was no protest in the north?
I'm coming. What I'm trying to say is that we have the ruling class and the masses class. the oppressed people are the masses cry, irrespective of their tribe and religion. And that those oppressed people are more in numbers. And they ought to have reacted. They ought to have known that they are always torn against each other. And my fear is that we have not really found out that it is not some init somewhere that are engineering this for their political purpose.
Is there any proof to that?
I have no proof to that, but history impressed on me to be very cautious. Okay. Because this is not the first time it happened in Nigeria. In 1960s, after the independence, there was problem in the Western Regional Assembly where the Akintola people were against Awolowo. And the problem between Akintola and Awolowo led to the arrest of Awolowo and the imprisonment of Awolowo in 1963. Then there was an election in the Western region in 1965. And after the election, the Awolowo people considered a rigged election. Then, 1966, there was coup. And ask me, who are the brain behind the coup? It is Awoyis in the army, Ifejuna, and Ademoyega. And some innocent youth were co-opted into that coup. And that coup led to the killing of Tafola Balewa, Sudan of Sokoto, and Sudan of Sokoto, and the rest of them. And before you know it, it was turned to Igbo coup. And that led to the counter coup of 29 July, and then the civil war. Awolowo was supposed to be the beneficiary of that coup, who knew of the coup, came out of the prison, abandoned the people that fought for him, and developed policy, very human policy, that says starvation is an instrument of war. And the Igbos suffered for a coup that was supposed to benefit Awolowo, which Awolowo was very aware of, because some youth who did not understand the dynamics of 1960 politics felt it was right to fight for Awolowo.
If we follow your political analogy, there shouldn't be a protest.
No. What I'm trying to say is that for us to back any protest, we must find out who are behind that protest.
Can you really do that?
Yes, you can. You can find out who is funding the protest. You can find out who is organizing the protest.
Who is funding this one?
That is what we have to find out.
Because
the timing, listen to me, the timing is suspect. Do you know why I say so?
Why?
Timing is suspect because it is just after Oshiomhole was removed. It's just after Edo election. It's just after some people know they will not win the Ondo election. It's just after some people, 2023, presidential ambition is threatened, that for the first time, we now heard Yoruba One Voice, or One Voice Yoruba. The next thing is we begin to see the same people that they used 2015 as celebrities to campaign against Jonathan, now start campaigning against us. But they were there when fuel was increased from 80 naira to 140.
So are you saying
that I'm coming? They were there when the TVs, the Benues were killed in numbers. They were there when Southern Kaduna people were killed in numbers. They were there when people were killed in Nimbo. They were there when people were killed in Abia in the name of Operation Python Dance, and none of them said anything. But suddenly, everybody wake up. Somebody is behind what is happening.
All right, Vin, do you think this is a form of distraction? Because I'm trying to understand the point he's trying to make. I believe he is explaining that this is some form of distraction to take the minds of Nigerians away from what is actually bothering us.
Okay. First of all, this is the same thing that the older ones are saying. Before I start, let me state it clear here that now, me coming here this morning, I broke strict orders from my parents. I told them yesterday, in short, I was the one that contacted Adobe. I told her, I want to be here. Because I cannot stand it. Go on Twitter. You see videos of youths being shot. These are human beings, for crying out loud. I told my parents, hey, mom, dad, I'm going to Urban Radio this morning. And they said, Chidi, don't. It's not your problem. They said, don't go. Because we have problem in the country. So this one will not solve it. I said, dad, mom, no, I'm going. We must start from somewhere. Now, I understand what my guy is saying. I understand him perfectly clear. But then we have waited and waited and waited and nothing happened. Why is it that each time the youths want to do something, they will say, we are not doing it right. But we have been there since keeping quiet. What have they done? I am asking the older generation, what have you done? You were here and they are killing us. You said nothing. You did nothing. I cannot go out. I cannot express myself. You said nothing. Now we are coming out and we are saying, if this protest is nothing to write home about, enter Twitter right now. It's trending all over the world. Everybody is talking about NSAS. We all know. Ask an average Nigerian youth.
But you won't rule out the fact that there could be political undertones to it.
No one have told me anything or the reason why I should come out tomorrow.
They don't have to tell you. They could be, just like you rightly pointed out, there could be political undertone. Are you more interested in what you've achieved than in the political undertone which may boomerang?
Okay, if you are saying this, that means we should all keep quiet and relax and wait till everything is okay, then we can come out. Rome was not built in a day. There must be a foundation. Before you build a house, you must first of all check your foundation. There must be a first block.
Do you really think that disbandment of SARS, because it's not the first time it's been disbanded, do you really think, in your opinion, that you've just scored a point or you have solved a problem?
If our leaders are sensible, we don't have leaders, if our politicians are sensible enough, they should understand what we are going through. They should know what we are saying. Now, I am not saying that ending SARS will solve all our problems. No. But the youth are saying, we have identified a problem that is killing us first. Please end SARS for us.
And
first.
Do you think that ending SARS will solve the problem that SARS was creating?
End SARS first. Then we move on to police reforms.
No. We will get to police reform. I'm saying, SARS was not doing what they were originally created to do.
Yes.
That's a given fact. Now, ending SARS, which is disbandment of SARS, as the IGP announced yesterday, do you, in your opinion, think that is a conclusive solution to the problems that SARS, forget about the reform first.
Okay.
Do you think is a conclusive solution to the problem that SARS created rather than solved?
Okay, in all honesty, yes, you are right in that aspect.
I didn't say anything, I just asked you a question.
No, what I'm saying is, it's not really a solution to that problem, like 100%, like ending SARS. It's not really a solution 100%. But we are saying we know how we do things in Nigeria. We just want our voice to be heard. First of all, end SARS for us first. Now, there are people who know more than us. That is why I keep shouting that we need help. We cannot do it alone. We have pointed to a direction that, hey, this is what we want. Help us. It is left for our daddies and our mommies and the older generation to help us to do it in the right way. First of all, end SARS for us, that these people are causing havoc. They are causing mayhem to the public. They are killing people on a daily basis. They are extorting people. SARS now go around with POS. If you see the way they dress, see, I'm not here to speak English. I'm not here to speak grammar. I'm not here to be objective. I am here because I am an angry youth. That I don't know if I'm going to live till next week if I go out.
Let me react to what Adobe didn't get me. I'm not saying that politicians are using SARS protests to distract. I'm saying that some people might think, my suspicion, that some politicians who have interest in 2023 are trying to heat up the polity using the protests, are using youth rally in the street to pressurize the power that be for their own political gain.
Again, do I ask, do we wait until 2023?
No, I'm not saying we should wait. What I'm trying to say is that there's need for people to find out who is funding what is getting involved. Because I have pointed to history. And people that don't observe the mistake of history are bound to repeat it again. If Ifejuna has observed the mistake of history in 1951, you wouldn't have recruited people with Ademoyoga for the coup of 1966. And we have been suffering for that singular mistake till today. The Igbos have been marginalized in this country for the singular mistake of that coup. Now, we know what happened in 1993 during the Abiona crisis. And we know what happened thereafter. It has always been a political culture in Nigeria that since after the civil war, any bloc that want power, we tend to go violent to pressurize the power holders to release power to them.
So instead of joining the protest,
so what I'm saying,
what
is,
do you think we should do? Fold our hands?
No.
And watch the same politicians you think that created the problem.
No, what I'm trying to say is that, you see, we must be careful as we deploy our political energy. Because my fear is that should NSAS protests come down to the East, you know, Igbo people are very emotional people. And we take to the street. You can't bet that there will not be people, youths and ordinary masses that may come to that protest with IPOB flag.
Okay.
And before you know it, the federal government or power somewhere will take that as an excuse to weigh the type of force that has not been used.
There's a genuine concern.
It has not been used other places. And before you know it, this protest that started in the West and in the North Central will become an Igbo problem. Because we are a endangered species in Nigeria. And what is happening now is the politics of 2023. That is what is happening now. And once we carry this problem, the people that engineer this, who know where they are going, who knows the button they want to press, will now return back to become reconciliators. And because they are now the people mediating and reconciling, they will better position themselves for the so-called 2023 presidency. Now, our youth will not want to nest in the same way our youth didn't nest in 1963, 66. And going forward, Zeke was warning, Okpara was warning, and our elders were warning, and youth like this gentleman didn't want to listen. You must understand your position because battle is fought based on ground. If you are not in a vantage position to take up a man, you wait until you have vantage position. I'm not saying they should not protest in the West. I'm not saying they should not protest in the North Central. The people that have enjoyed in Nigeria as it is, the Nigeria structure, the people that have benefited from Nigeria, should protest. Every Igbo man that has succeeded in Nigeria has succeeded by his sheer effort.
All right, we'll take a short break. And when we return, of course, we'll be getting your response to that. Stay with us. This is Urban Radio and it is the Parliament. Still, the Parliament and Urban Radio 94.5, and Mr. Ayogo was making a statement. Let's drop it. You're insinuating that it could be worse if the stage protest hits the southeast. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and I have reasons. Just yesterday, there was a rumor on social media that the SARS office in Enugu was burnt down by IPOB and six operatives were killed and the station was burnt down. We all know it's a lie. Who planted that rumor? What purpose was he meant to achieve? It was just this morning that the state command PRO debunked that news. Now, they're already setting the tune to join us with the power that be, so that it become an Igbo crisis again. You are living in Enugu. Was there any crisis in Enugu? But Google it. You find it in social media. That the SARS state command was burnt down with six police killed and others maimed, and they are in critical condition in hospital by IPOB. And that is, you know, completely false.
Okay.
So they're already setting the tune for a crisis. Now, the IG has said he has earned and disbanded SARS. What is then the justification to stage an end SARS protest tomorrow in Enugu? There's no justification.
Okay, let's
So you are setting tune for the type of reaction that is not healthy for us. So why not allow the people that started it? Because things has happened here that should have actually earned national outcry that nothing happened. Many youths has been killed here, has been arrested, unjustly detained, and nobody lifted a finger. The timing, I said, is suspect. We must be careful.
All right. Well, why do you think the march will go on tomorrow?
Okay. First of all, sir, I did not see such news. I did not see such news online, because what I actually got was in that thing happened in Rivers State, actually. But what I don't want us to do, okay, I'm coming, sir. What I don't want us to do here is to drag the IPOB into this. Please, let's not do that.
But if it has been disbanded,
okay,
if this protest was about ending SARS, and the announcement yesterday said it has been disbanded, why should the protest go on?
It's not only just end SARS. We are also ending police brutality. Okay? This is not the first time we had heard such news. This is not the first time that SARS have been disbanded. Understand? So all I'm trying to say is, there was a protest day before yesterday in Oka. It was peaceful. Listen, we are not fools. I'm a graduate. I went to school. I know what it's like to stage a peaceful protest. We are all gearing up for it.
But even,
okay?
Even peaceful protests can be hijacked.
Yes. But then, the Igbo man...
Are there measures in place to ensure that it's not hijacked?
Yes. We are doing our best in that aspect. But then, the Igbo man will say, Adeji Makambabu, Garenogo. All our youths all over the country are doing something.
Don't you think it's time for...
Do you think tribalism will actually infiltrate the protest in Enugu State?
This is what we don't want to hear. We don't want people to bring in this tribalism. We are coming, sir.
I have to ask you a question.
Sir, I'm coming, sir. I'm actually coming, sir.
Look at the news. Enugu CP. It's a news today. Enugu CP delays. I'm showing you now so that you see it on Vanguard. Enugu CP denies the... Look at it. Sorry. It's on Vanguard here. I just tried to open it now. Enugu CP.
All right. Moving further, Mr. OK. This SARS that we're speaking about, they haven't disbanded more than three times. And one thing I feel is the reason why the protest is ongoing is the fact that even with the disbandment of this SARS, these men in these uniforms still operate.
Did you see it?
Yes, we've gotten information. Okay, we've gotten information. I would love your reactions. How then, or how can it come to an end abruptly? Because even after the disbandment, couple of years back, 2017, 2018, 2019, even as of February this year, last week and even this week, there's been information of the disbandment, yet these people still operate. Now, what is the, what's the guarantee that even with this disbandment, it's going to bring an end totally to the actions of these officers?
The truth is, I'm not in position to speak on the grantee because I don't work for police. And I'm not briefed by IG. And that is the truth. But the IG today is not the IG 2 years ago, not the IG 3 years ago. The event that led to disbanding of SARS today wasn't the event that led to disbanding of SARS. Last times they were disbanded. There's even a president a statement from the presidency saying that the disbanding of SARS was a directive of the president. The main thing is to watch and see whether they are disbanded. I don't want to jump the gun to begin to preempt or speculate whether the man will follow his word with action. I believe that we should watch and see whether the man has truly disbanded the SARS operative. But the truth is that whether it is SARS or it is COVID-19 that we're calling it, there has need for a special anti-robbery operative in Nigeria, because robbery, kidnapping, and all such criminality are still prevalent here. And we cannot ignore it.
I was going to ask, doesn't the disbandment create a vacuum?
A vacuum, because when we're looking at it, you know that one of the reasons that give you confidence to travel from place to place is also the policemen on the road, and soldiers on the road, security people on the road, because we are living at a dangerous time. Arms are flowing from the Middle East through Sahara Desert down to Nigeria at very uncontrollable measure. And there's unemployment, and people are hungry. And there's also moral and value decadence. So people are no longer restricted by moral, because the family fabrics is broken. And it is also a value issue. Because one of the things that supports crime is the void of value. People don't ask people now how they make their money. And youth are more likely to take to means of crime or criminality to make money than working very hard and being patient as a school teacher.
Now this
whole thing, that's what I'm saying, that it is a policy issue, is a systemic issue, it is a structural issue. Because the only way we can handle the police extrajudicial killing and brutality and reform is to restructure Nigerian police, not SARS.
So we should
have state police.
That's not about to happen soon. Until it happens.
That is why I believe that the youth that are interested in asking for good governance should be able to align themselves with the leaders of thought in their areas who they can trust the reason behind their political moves and a pursuit, align behind them. Could you imagine if we have all aligned behind Ohadeze and say we want restructuring? Are you understand me? Rather than following a protest we don't know who is funding. Now, my young brother here is saying that they must protest tomorrow. And I want to ask him, who is funding the protest?
Why is the president silent? One thing people want to know is the president's silence when it comes to these issues. He hasn't spoken. And the governors also. The governors made a statement during, in some of the dailies that they are working behind the scenes. Is that what they're supposed to be doing at a time like this?
Like I said, impunity runs from the top to the bottom. This is not the first begging issue and hot debate going on in Nigeria. Issue of national prominence that our president have treated us with deafening silence, because we don't matter much. So I'm not supporting the president's silence. The clamor for restructuring has been on, and the presidency have said, well, those that are talking about restructuring are those that are in opposition. And we know that all these things are games of 2023 and the Nigerian political deficit.
Now, you talked about, aligning with Ohadeze. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't they be seen as staging a protest for whatever they want?
Do you know what? Ohadeze.
And if they did, don't you think these youths will have aligned with them?
Ohadeze understand Nigerian politics and the dynamics of Nigeria politics. more than these youths. And they know what protest can achieve and what it cannot achieve. So you don't expect a person...
You don't believe in protest?
No, that I don't believe in protest. But protest must be constructive.
We're waiting for Ohanaeze to give us a constructive version.
Ohanaeze is fighting for restructuring.
How are they doing that?
They admit, because no segment of this country can achieve any political aim independent of the coalition of other political region or structures of Nigeria. So you see Ohanaeze organizing a common forum with Middle Belt Elders Forum, with Aniferiferi, with Pandef or South-South. They are coming together to see how they can politically re-engineer the structure of Nigeria.
Back is still the parliament. Now we go to the talk lines. 0899-945-945.
And 0893-999-945.
Keep your comments as brief as you can. Hello?
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Ada and UC.
Go ahead.
Right. Hi, Jimus from Enugu. Good morning, gentlemen in the studio. Yes, I am delighted in this topic, and I want to start from somewhere. A statement made by the elderly man there. He said that we are endangered species in this country. Yes, to me now, what he said is very, very correct. Some people who are not IPOB members could take flag tomorrow and join the demonstration, and Nigerian state will bounce on them and deal with them mercilessly, unlike what was done to other ethnic nations that demonstrated on Saturday. It is quite unfortunate. We are a very, very endangered species in this contraption. Now, what I'm saying is this. NSAS could not be the problem. The problem is so fundamental, is so systemic, so endemic. Look at this. Now, there are things that could be done very, very obviously to change this narrative. Once you talk about unveiling the identity of the man president, once you talk about ending this contraption, which is created by the British, and that is Nigeria, and that is where the problem lies, then when we do it, everybody will go on his own. We think on how to come back again and live peacefully than killing everybody. Thank you for picking my call.
All right, thank you so much for joining us. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Sulu.
Yeah, good morning.
I want to commend your guests. They have talked so well. My own is that NSAS. I think I commend the IGP for listening to the voice of the people. You understand? SARS have done some good jobs, and they have done some bad jobs. You understand? That's what Ogayog is saying. I understand. There is in a decay in our system. Our system is faulty. You understand? It doesn't end in ending SARS. There must be reforms. The police must be reformed. It's not only SARS that, do bad things. You understand? Police entirely, there must be a total overhaul of police. You understand? The demonstration I support it. Because something must start somewhere. Something must start somewhere. Demonstration have started, in fact, from the SARS and SARS, that it will lead to good governance. It will lead to, restructuring. It will lead to so many things. I thank God that youth have come out and demonstrated that they can do something. They are not docile as, people are clamoring, are saying that, the elderly ones are saying that, youths are so docile. Nigerian youth can do things.
All right.
You understand? We see them doing it all over the place. There must be end to, brutality. And there is no consequence for wrong. That's the main thing that is killing us in this country. There's no consequence for doing wrong things. If you do something, if you kill somebody, you should go in for it. How can you explain it that up to now, that there's brutality of police against the people that are protesting? Why must you brutalize them?
All right, we have to let you go. Just keep your comments as brief as you can. Hello?
Hello, good morning.
Hello?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. This is Val, I'm calling from Enugu.
Go ahead.
Okay. I enjoy you people's discussion this morning. I think it's a balanced one. We have an elder in the house and also have a youth there.
ndị Igbo tinye ihe okenye ji adị mma ịnọ n'ọnọdụ. So that ọ bụrụ anụ niile nwatakịrị furu, atụ ọgwụ nke ọ ga-abụ iri, see ya that water si ebe a pụọ na adakwa eri, anụ a bụrụ anụ riri. I think the elder in the house, I think he has open scenario in Nigerian politics, starting from what happened in 1960. So do you know that this morning, as I'm speaking to you people now, go to Twitter, the house of Mazi Nnamdi Kanu has been raided by militaries. What for? The protest is not even done here. And look at what is happening in Vanguard. So I think we should take it easy. I don't think there is any, although the whole situation, the whole problem is happening to everybody, even here in Southeast. They are even, they are disturbing. But since that, let's use the diplomacy, because Yoruba people, they are known for diplomacy. But now they have started the protest there. Let us try to lose our war. All right. Growing them. At least if they achieve it there, they can also be extended to other parts of the... So I'm urging all the Southeasterners to just calm down and be following this thing that is happening in a political way. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Keep the calls coming.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. My name is Odaze. I'm reaching you from Ila, Delta State, this beautiful morning.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
Adobe. And Usi, good morning. Good morning, I guess, in the house.
Go ahead.
The government of SARS is like scratching the surface. More work needs to be done. We have a fundamental problem with our security forces. SARS is a part of the security forces. The entire system is joined in. How educated are those recruited personnel? How educated are they? When I say educated, I mean literate. They are literate, but that is not all. That is not all. Our security outfit needs to be reshuffled thoroughly. The security structure, especially the police that is designed to deal in an ideal situation with the generality of the civil society and civil population. What is the policy of the police and the security? For example, there is constant policy somersault, like this, duplication of security agencies. You have SARS, that is in almost the same job as the SSS and Magus outfit, the EFCC. They are all similar in their way of operation. And of course, we must have take cognizance that members of this outfit are from the police. Yes? We must make adequate provision for our security forces, especially, excuse me, please, just 1 second more, especially in discipline etiquette too is of vital importance. This is the best time to ban the activities, the activities of SARS, now that it's come to a head. All of us are aware of their activities, except someone who just stepped into Nigeria. What do we do with the disbanded personnel? Sack them? No. No. Look for those who are found culpable and show them the way out. Those left need to be redeployed. Political undertone is neither here nor there. The elite, the vice president, for example, some senators, even some politicians, we are involved in the call for the disbandment of SARS.
All right.
And I would appreciate Mr. President to be firm. If there is anyone that can be firm on this issue, it's Mr. President himself. The buck stops there. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your thoughts. Keep it coming. 0809-945-945.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning. What's your name?
Yeah. What they said. But my own answer, I don't want to answer one question. He said, who is sponsoring?
Your line is breaking.
He said, sponsoring protests. I don't want to say that there is nobody that is sponsoring the protests. It's just what is doing on the paper. Nobody is sponsoring any protests. The youth are woken up. We cannot continue like this and allow our leaders doing anything they want. This is time for our youth to say their mind. They are the leaders of this nation. just that politics and politics is everything. So what I'm saying is that nobody is sponsoring any protest. Protest is the decision of the youth. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. What's your name?
My name is Jeff from Enugu.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah, I listened to your guest there, the two gentlemen, the younger one and the old one.
Older one. He's not old.
Okay. But someone is representing the youth today.
Go ahead.
Okay. In my own opinion, I support the protest for disbandment of SARS because they have done more harm than do good for the purpose that it was established. They are killing young people, especially the younger ones that goes with flashy cars, turning them the Yahoo boys. But they forgot that the politicians that goes with millions of naira without showing the means of getting those millions of naira and those cars, besides will not harass them, rather they will protect them. The youth are challenging the SARS now to go forward and get the politicians that are looting our money, that are not even doing the good things that they're supposed to do. So the protest is a signal that the youth are very, very tired of the system. And again, somebody was in the studio was suggesting that this protest might be sponsored by an opposition party or whatever, or somebody. But he forgot to understand that this present government came into power through propaganda. The propaganda was about the bring back our girls and the security and corruption in the society during the Jonathan administration. But none of this aspect of life that they have changed.
All right, we have to let you go.
All right, thank you so much.
We have to let you go. Keep it as brief as you can.
Keep the calls coming. Hello, good morning. Good morning. What's your name?
Good morning. My name is Jude. I'm calling from Enugu.
Yeah.
I greet you and your guests there.
Go ahead.
Okay. The protest to end SARS is a welcome development. But I understand what our elder is saying there. Igbo people say, because in Nigeria, anything you're doing and you forget to remember the ethnic implication is you have not started. He didn't say we should not protest. The youth should protest. But he said, be careful. Be sure you are aware of what you're doing. So it will not be like 1963 something. Because 1963, people were recruited. They were fighting for what they believe in. They did not know that someone else has a different agenda. As we are protesting, let's be sure that the person who is leading us, not even the person who lives from the West, but the person who is going to lead here in the cities, that is the same, we have the same ideology. Like what he says, what he's going to do. It will not be after we protest in the day, we'll go to separate meeting in the night. So that's what happened in Nigeria. That's what the elder is saying. If not so, this NSAS protest is very good because SARS, they were created to solve a problem, but they have created more problems, more than what they have to be solved. Because armed robbers kill people. They steal people money. We created SARS to earn them. Now SARS are killing people and taking people money too. Thank you.
All right, let's check out social media. On Twitter, from @ColumbusWise, it says, my take in this hashtag NSAS protest is that the president himself should address the nation, ensuring us that SARS has been banned. If not, hashtag NSAS protest continues. And Obiesie Okechukwu says, is Mr. Ayogo saying that people should wait until SARS victims equal that of Southern Kaduna killings until something is done? This comparison should never have been covered out. Also, still from Columbus on Twitter, we shall know the next possible step to take. In my point of view, no politician is sponsoring NSARS. It was agitation of what happened last 2 weeks in Delta State, where two people were shot dead by SARS and their other previous commitments. And also, what the man is saying is not in line with a question directed to him. He may not understand the impact of SARS on the youth, because maybe none of his relations have ever been a victim. And Chukwebuka Blackman on Twitter says, if you're saying that Igbo youth should not protest, then who will protest for us since more of the killings are done here? Don't you think that the international community is watching? And lastly, still from Chukwebuka Blackman, a little protest could trigger a revolution for a better society. Is that what you're saying? Do you think a little protest could trigger a revolution for a better society?
All right. We'll get back to the studio. And just before we bring back our guests, you may also want to think along this line. SARS has been disbanded 4 times. The youths are still demonstrating in Lagos. They are not taking the disbanding of SARS by the IGP. They are saying, one, the president should give an executive order, or there should be a legislative order. A Supreme Court order, that's the only way they can be sure. Okay, Mr. Ayogu, let's get, you have a lot to say. Some have accused you. You may want to clear yourself. And then you've been writing, so that means you have quite some things to say. So go ahead and say them, and then we'll close with the younger guest.
Okay. Maybe I have been misunderstood to mean that SARS are doing all things right and people should not protest against SARS. No, that is not what I've been saying. I don't support what SARS has been doing. Likewise, I don't support what many of our institutions have been doing. But I'm saying that SARS is just a symptom, one of the symptoms of the collapsing Nigeria structure that lead to be re-engineered and restructured, so to say. Now, coming to the End SARS campaign, my opinion is that it has, for now, achieved its purpose, because what it asked for when it started was that SARS should be disbanded. Now, SARS has been disbanded, and more ingredients are being added to it. And my concern is that this End SARS campaign is a campaign of political operatives. And we should remind ourselves that political operatives are not known to pursue political ideologies, but political interests, which means that it's not actually the question of what is right and what is wrong. It's the question of achieving a desired and particular outcome. So for the outsiders who we base on the political rhetorics believe that what they said is what they are looking for, they will always find themselves disappointed. One of the callers made reference to 2013-2014 campaign Bring Back Our Girls. At that point, some people were asking, including myself, why Bring Back Our Girls protest was being staged when the military and the intelligence institutions were doing all they could to find the Chibok girls. I have younger sisters, I have little ones. I know what it is to have a little one kidnapped or taken hostage. And it went up to Obama's wife, who was carrying a placard, Bring Back Our Girls. And in one of the occasions, I wrote in Daily newspaper, you can Google my name and see it. I was saying there that sometime in the 70s, American diplomat was taken captive in Iran, and they stayed under captivity for 444 days. An American military attempted to rescue them, and that operation failed. They lost some aircraft and suffered human casualty. An American society didn't carry a placard and say, bring back our diplomat. And as we speak today, many Americans are held in different prisons of the world. Some are held prisoner of war. And their society never took to the street to bring back our girls or bring back our people. But why did Obama's wife, disregarding the norms of international diplomacy and politics of no interference, I'm coming, to go and begin to campaign, bring back our guests. It was all politics. Jonathan has come today to say that those things were used to oust him. After APC came on board, nobody talked about bring back our guests. And that should concern us. What are some people trying to use this injury that we have all suffered to benefit themselves? I find it very abhorrent and very criminal that people will seize on injury suffered by others to benefit their political goals. And you ask yourself, who was Sowore that is needing bring back our guests today? 2015, he was on the side of APC, he was on the side of Bola Tinubu. And when did he fall out from with APC, and at what point? Now, you find out that it's not about sacks, it's about revolution. And Sowore have asked for revolution. Now, the issue of that somebody pointed out now that one of the corners, that now the Kanu's house is said to be raided, may just be the work of a mischief maker somewhere that want to heat up the polity here. Because once the IPOB's teaming supporters hear that their leader's house has been raided, it heat up the polity here, and before you know it, it become an Igbo issue, it become a Southeast issue, then here become the hot spot. And it will benefit none of us. And that is why I am asking for us to be cautious, for us to be careful, not to be used as the pawns in somebody's chess game, not to be used as an instrument to for somebody's ascendance to power, because it will not benefit any of us. We can't be fighting federal government. We can't be seen to be the hotspot, the war zone, and we are positioning ourselves for Igbo presidency 2023. It will not work. Right. So we must be careful.
All right. Let's bring you in, the younger man. Oh, Martins, well. Right?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, as a youth, I am humbly pleading to our politicians. Remember, I don't call them leaders. I call them to our politicians. Please, we are begging you. You know what to do to fix this country. You know what to do to fix this mess that we found ourselves into.
You think they do?
Yeah, they do. Because they also have kids. They provide the best for their kids. So I know why they are not speaking. Because if you see the speed in which they reacted to the COVID-19, because COVID-19 can kill everybody. But these NSAs, their kids are abroad. So their kids are not in here. So that's why nobody is speaking. As a youth, I'm begging, please, governors, senators, help us. Yes, we have started something because we have been hurt. We have been killed and nobody talked about it. Then you people know what to do. You people know more than us. Then guide us. Help us to achieve our aim. Help us to stay alive in our own country. Thank you.
All right. And for the record, there's going to be a hashtag NSAS protest tomorrow, Tuesday, in Enugu State. So if you feel it's in your best interest, fine. The venue is at Okpara Square. All right. Thanks so much to Mr. Oke Ayogo, National Coordinator, Citizens Defense Support Project. Thank you so much, Mr. Oke.
Thank you.
And a big thank you. Okay.
Yeah, can I ask you something before we go? Please, I am pleading to all youths of Enugu State. I am begging you with everything that I hold to heart. If your aim is to come out tomorrow and cause mayhem, if your aim is to come out tomorrow and cause havoc, please stay at home. I'm begging you. Please stay at home. All right. And allow us to do something.
I'm coming. I also want to lend my voice to this fact. If the aim was to end SARS, let us remember that the person whose office set up SARS in the first place has disbanded SARS. So it can no longer be end SARS. If you have something else to protest, tell us.
Police brutality.
But when it comes to end SARS, SARS has been ended.
But SARS has been ended before and ended again.
And he ended again.
Four times.
So we should wait until we find out that they have not carried out their action.
All right. Thank you so much, Anopueme Chidi-Vin Martins, graduate of marketing, UNN, master's holder in business administration, and a good governance advocate. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
All right. My name is Adobe Lozwe. On behalf of my colleague,
Uche Gabriel,
I say thank you so much for listening. Stay with us for the rest of the Urban Radio programming.